Wrestling Podcast. With the Enforcer.
I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long!
Welcome back to another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your hosts. He is the Stallion. I am the Enforcer. And right off the bat...
No, don't do it.
Oh, God. Breaking news. Be prepared, everybody. Yeah. We took the week off last week. That's breaking, right?
Is it?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, all those people that follow our Twitter and Facebook and
subscribe
to the podcast and everything on iTunes and everything like that.
Yeah.
I know, I was getting a lot of messages asking what happened last week, so.
You know, I feel like I've had a ton of energy going into the show.
Sorry, go ahead. I know.
We took the week off last week, not through anybody's fault, but inept, overprivileged. Help me here.
Mean Street Posse? Is that where we're going?
Nope. I'm going with people that work for you that are unreliable and suck. Because 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how the Stallion and I were going to be going to the Impact show in St. James, New York. I was very excited for that. Unfortunately... that did not happen for me, at least. I was glad Joe got to go with Buddy Charlie, and that was great. I'm glad they had a good time. I was at work because, you're very popular when everybody needs something from you. But God forbid you need a favor. Not even a favor. You just ask somebody to do their job, and they can't do it. So I was slinging vitamins all day while you're over there hanging out with Eli Drake. You're hanging out with Eli Drake.
Gummy, yeah.
Yeah, actually, can I get that one more time?
Gummy, yeah.
Good. Yeah, I was reaching for the same thing. Yeah, that was unfortunate, and it's 4 days later, and I'm still fuming, because not only did I not get to go, not only did I find out the night before / morning of, but I also wasted a $70 ticket. Really puts things in perspective, huh, buddy?
Yep.
Everything's fun. I know the good news is you had a really easy week at work.
Yeah, no problems.
Yeah, no, everything's good. I think the better news is that Raw and SmackDown have been off the charts lately. So really some
viewership is skyrocketing, is my understanding.
Actually, I just saw that SmackDown hit like a 6-week high this week.
Yeah.
So that's good. Jinder Mahal is really...
They put Jinder in the main event. That's the key.
Really, because I feel like he almost never wrestles.
Special attraction.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Real, real special. So what are we going to be talking about this week on the All-Night Long Wrestling Podcast? This is what we call a tweener week. There's really not much to talk about in terms of WWE. We'll talk about a little Raw, a little SmackDown. We're going to talk about NXT. And then I also want to talk some G1 Climax 2017. Because as of recording this,
we have one of those court stenographers.
Stenographer, here. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just recording everything that we say down into like one of those little pieces of paper that looks like it's from the cash register. So we're gonna have that.
What do they call that? A typewriter.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Stenographer.
Stenographer.
Stenog.
So where the hell is it going with this? I don't know. We're gonna talk about some stuff. We're gonna have a special guest on our show next week. I'm gonna tease it now. A big show next week. A big show planned. For the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, I'm going to have the one and only Mr. Rogers on the show. Wait a second. That's not right. Is he?
I think he's not. I think he's no longer with us. I'm pretty sure.
He passed away?
I believe so.
Son of a bitch.
You want me to Google that?
Who have I been tweeting?
I don't know. You should probably... I would not. If somebody's posing as Mr. Rogers, I don't think that... he passed away in 2003. So I'm not sure if there was Twitter in 2003, actually. So maybe he has an account from the beyond.
I do listen to a lot of paranormal podcasts. Maybe. Oh no. That's so it's not Mr. Son of a.
Well, it's not, you know, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
You think it's one of those porn bots, like Laylel Sex Cat 9?
I mean, anything's possible. I don't know. I would. I mean, maybe there's like a Twitter, you know, support email
that you can reach out to. Okay, okay.
Does it have the blue check mark on his account when you're...
No, we don't even have the blue check mark on anyone.
Well, that's different. That's a different story altogether, really.
We're not verified.
No. God, we don't know much of anything right now.
No, we're just two vessels living life in this cycle. Well, this got dark, huh? Let's get back on track.
Buddy. Sure.
Let's get back. So as of us recording this right now, speaking of the G1, I'm going to touch on that real quick. We'll start there. There are two matches tomorrow morning. Oh, no, actually, it's Friday and Saturday. So they have 2 days off. Friday is going to be Tanahashi versus Naito, I believe, for the Block A finals. Yes, yeah, it's Tanahashi versus Naito, I'm pretty sure. Is that right?
I have to look it up. But for some reason, I thought Okada Omega was that day, but I don't know which day.
So then, Okada Omega is the 12th. So I'm sorry, you're right. No, Okada Omega is going to be the 12th.
That's Saturday then.
So that's going to be Saturday. And then whoever wins that is going to be the winner of the Block B. The winner of Block A is going to be determined when Naito takes on Tanahashi. I think it's been a very, very strong G1 climax so far. There have been a lot of, you know, you have guys like a Yuji Nagata. Yuji Nagata has been in New Japan since the NWO days, and he went 0-1. I think he might have actually won one, but he's 49 years old, and the man's been, you know, putting on some really good matches. There are a couple of surprises. Elgin got eliminated very early. Michael Elgin did, but I think he's had a phenomenal run of matches, and though he got eliminated early, he's still, you know, they're showing a lot of fighting spirit. So he's pretty much, he's still winning matches now. They're a little bit late. He's actually the only, he was the first person to get the win over Kenny Omega. Omega is currently 6-2. His only losses have come to Michael Elgin. And do you know who the other one was?
Who, Omega's losses? Yeah. It was the Juice Robinson.
Yeah, Juice Robinson. It was a really good match. It was a roll-up finish. I'm a big fan for how they did not have Omega and Okada go undefeated until the end. I like how they showed some chinks in the armor. And I think let's see. So Tanahashi.
Do you have any? Let me ask you this. I think that before.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was right. It was Tanahashi and Naito. So really quick, August 11th, the winner of the Tanahashi Naito is going to take on the winner of Okada and Omega. So I was a little upset because I thought it was going to be Kota Ibushi. I thought we were going to see an Ibushi-Omega final. That's not the case. Ibushi's had a really good tournament. He's been strong. But Tanahashi, he lost early to Zack Sabre Jr. And Naito's... Yeah, I think Naito's got to win. Naito's got to beat the ace. He's got to beat Tanahashi. And now the other thing is, Kenny Omega is 6-2. Okada is 6-1-1. Okada's lone loss has come to Evil in a fantastic match, and he had a draw last night with Minoru Suzuki, which I disagree with, but it was what it was. So if Okada and Omega go to a 30-minute time limit draw, then Okada still wins the block. Okada doesn't have to, you know, Okada doesn't have to win an in. Omega does have to win an in. So it's going to be, I wouldn't hate seeing another Okada versus Tanahashi match, but I think the money should be on Naito, and I think the money's going to be on Omega.
Do you feel that this is too predictable? That the final, if they're all this, the final four guys are probably the final four guys that everybody thought it would come down to in the end?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I think the road to get there has been very interesting, but as far as the final four, you know, there were some teases, but I feel like a lot of the stronger guys got eliminated early. I mean, I would have liked to see, you know, I would have liked to see Ibushi in it. I really would have. I would have also liked to see a stronger showing from Goto. He's another guy I really think deserved it, and Elgin would have been a really cool addition to the final four. But I think the the way that New Japan books it, so Omega lost the Juice. Omega is the U.S. Heavyweight Champion, so that can set up a Kenny Omega versus Juice match. Okada lost to Evil. That could set up an Okada versus Evil match later on for the title. So I like the way they got there, but I do feel that it was far too predictable, yes. The other thing I think is going to be interesting is the 30-minute time limit on the Okada versus Omega match. These guys have never wrestled less than 30 minutes. The first match was 47 minutes. The second match was a 60-minute time limit draw. I think a lot of people are anticipating a draw out of this match. I think it would make sense to have Kenny Omega win it. So, excuse me, that way it's 1-1-1, and then winner take all at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know if that's going to happen. I would love to see Naito get the briefcase. I think the guy has done more than enough to be the champion, to deserve, I should say. He brought, 3 years ago, Naito was toiling around in obscurity, and now he's the biggest heel. Well, he's kind of like a heel face. Everybody loves him. And, he's just another guy who's putting on consistently good matches in this tournament with people that are just not really up to his level. And I think that's a mark of a really good champion, somebody that could definitely carry the company. God knows the LIJ merch sales are almost up there with the Bullet Club, so I don't think they would have an issue putting the title on him. They had it on before. They just didn't give him a long enough run. So giving the briefcase to Naito to cash in would be...
They actually have a briefcase for this?
Yeah. It's a briefcase.
What's in the briefcase?
The contract.
They have a contract with a briefcase?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's... Why are we coming out with the negativity?
I'm just saying. I didn't know that they actually had it. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, they do have a briefcase.
So I just didn't know that they were infringing on gimmicks.
I'm going to look it up. I'm gonna see who had the briefcase.
Yeah,
first.
Give me a gif of that. A gif. I want peanut butter and jelly.
Anyway, as I look this up, what are your thoughts on the end of the tournament?
I think it's... I haven't seen every match, obviously, because it's 18, 19 nights... which is longer than Hanukkah, quite frankly. I don't understand why.
It is actually longer than Hanukkah, but this contributes to a lot of my weight loss because I've been watching G1 matches while I've been doing the stairs at the gym.
I haven't seen all of them matches, but I just, I think the thing was, I think when the tournament started, now I pay attention to New Japan. I don't watch every single show because there's just not enough time in the day to do that. But I think just going into it, you're like, all right, if you look at the blocks, and you're like, all right, it'll probably be Naito and Tanahashi in one, and Omega and Okada in the other. And then, 3 weeks later, however long it is, that's what we wound up with. So I'm sure there's plenty of good matches mixed in there and different things happening, but we're right down to the same thing we thought would happen, or that everybody probably thought would happen in the beginning. It would have been nice if maybe one of those guys was not involved here. I mean, you could have probably taken any one of them out and had it be fine. Like, Tanahashi's nursing a bicep injury. He's the Intercontinental Champion there now. But it said he's going to fight Naito again for the 800th time. And then Okada and Omega fought a couple times already. I would assume the smart money would be that Omega will win this time because he hasn't beaten him yet, which is fine. I don't think there's any... If he ends up winning this again this year, that just seems... I don't know. I don't know why. To do the whole thing and have it be exactly what it was before, it just seems like almost like it's kind of a... You could have gotten there another way and had somebody else win it. So I'm hoping that's not what happens.
You have all four of these guys right now. Who's not going to win in your mind?
I don't think Tanahashi's going to win. I would be surprised, I guess, if he...
Agreed.
If he won.
Yep, I agree with that.
I'd say he's probably the third. And I guess I would also be surprised if Okada won, because then if he wins, then nobody gets the shot at Wrestle Kingdom. Or actually, it's not based off of this, right?
Yeah, not based upon this. If Okada wins, then pretty much he chooses who he wants to face. So yeah. I think... The more I think about it, because I don't know that... I think maybe once the champion has won, I'd have to look that up. But I thinking about it, that would be an interesting wrinkle. And then you guys... I guess you have kind of whoever he deems, worthy of it. That would be interesting. It'd be something different.
I mean, to me, it should be Naito. Because, if you look at the four guys that can win, three of them have titles right now. So it's like... To me, it would make sense for Naito to be the guy that wins because he doesn't have a title. I don't know if there'll be other matches, obviously, between now and Wrestle Kingdom, which is in January. But I would think it would be him. I don't think giving it to Tanahashi would... I mean, he's been in the main event so many times. He's the Intercontinental Champion. He's banged up. I wouldn't give it to him. Omega won it last year. He's the U.S. champ. They should probably focus on trying to establish that title rather than just putting him in another match for the IWGP Heavyweight title with Okada. And Okada obviously already has it. So I would think, if I was ranking who I think should win, I would say Naito 1, Okada 2, Omega 3, and Tanahashi 4. That's what I would, if I was booking it, that's what I would do. And I think Naito and Omega in the finals makes the most sense because, you know, you wouldn't really necessarily know who would win. So
yeah, I agree with you completely on that whole thing. I if nothing else, I'm going to tune in because I'm sure they're going to be unbelievable matches, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. So it's going to be an interesting couple of nights. I mean, the matches, I think most looking forward to Yano versus Suzuki on August 12th, mm-hmm. because Suzuki might actually murder him. So that would be ratings. That'd be something different. You haven't seen that on TV in Japan in probably like a week or
so. Not in a while, yeah.
No. Probably since January 26, 1986, when the Bears won the Super Bowl. So that's your G1 coverage. I will say, as far as the G1, the standout to me has been Evil. Man, I was a big fan of Evil last year, and this year his matches have been phenomenal. He kind of reminds me in the ring of Bray Wyatt, but far better. And from going from Kengo Watanabe, 3 years ago, to one of the top mid card heels in Japan in 2 years is no easy feat. And to be able to have really good matches and believable matches and get a clean win over Okada, that leads me to believe New Japan believes in him. So I hope we see nothing but big things from him. I'd like to see him actually challenge Omega for the U.S. title. That'd be something, or even Tanahashi. But who knows? Speaking of Evil, did you watch Raw? We could just go right to Raw.
Yeah, are we going to talk about the chair throwing spot? Is that where we're going with this whole thing?
Oh, no, that's... Did you see? You saw that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw Braun Strowman do it on Raw.
So you didn't see what happened the first time, 24 hours before that? No. Oh, okay. Well, it did. I'm just saying.
Okay.
We're just talking about gimmick infringement. The exact same spot. The exact same chair. What a coincidence.
They flew the chair in from Japan to Raw?
No, actually, the chair. Yeah, I got nothing. Yeah, they did. It's the same chair.
They did. Okay.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting how that happens 24 hours apart. Speaking of gimmick infringement, a little more breaking news. I'm not allowed to play the drop because Joe hates it. But gimmick infringement. You see the Twitter battle between Sienna and
Charlotte
Flair.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't think 90%. The wrestling population knows who Sienna is, so it's nice that she wants to claim that Charlotte is stealing her gimmick or whatever, or parts of her gimmick, but I don't really know.
Do you think Monty Brown is upset that Sienna stole his finishing move?
Maybe. I don't know if she had a conversation with him about that before she started using it.
The alpha male Monty Brown?
The bounce? Alpha male Monty Brown.
Yeah.
Do you know what she calls her finisher?
Oh, the bounce? That's
sexist is what that is. I'm just saying.
What'd she call it?
The silencer, I believe, is what she calls it.
It's nothing silencer about that. I don't know. It doesn't scream silencer. It screams more the bounce to me.
Okay.
But, like pinkies up, Joe. Pinkies up.
For I took Sienna. A picture with her on Friday.
Did you?
Yes. She had her pinky up in the picture.
Was she nice?
She lived in the gimmick. Cam was not very nice.
Who?
Cam.
Tell me, we're shooting now. Tell me why KM wasn't nice. Well, first of all, can you do me a huge favor? Tell me who KM is.
Kevin Matthews.
Yeah, who's that? Oh, wait, is he the guy that was walking around at House of Hardcore, nobody knew who he was, in jeans?
That was the one.
Okay. Figured he's too good for people. Suck it, KM. Tell me what he did.
He just had a nice big scowl on his face. I'm not sure if he was in the gimmick or not, but I got the sense that by the time that I had gotten to the show... So we got there around like 7. I thought the meet and greet started at 7. That was my understanding. Apparently it was like wrapping up around that time. So it must have started like way earlier.
Yeah, it started at 6.
So they were kind of like, there was only like 3 wrestlers that were left. It was Trevor Lee, LAX, which included Loki, and then Sienna and KM were there. And they just looked like they were either tired or not interested in taking pictures with people at that point.
LAX?
No, Sienna and KM. LAX was extremely nice, especially Loki. I was afraid a little bit. I thought Loki would kind of be
terrifying.
Tough to talk to, but he was extremely nice. He was. We took a picture. Obviously, Charlie and I were there at the show, so we took a picture. We both hopped in the picture at once, and I said something like, while we were waiting there, like, let's get both of us in at once. That way we don't keep these guys out here any longer than they need to be. And he was like, no, man, take your time. Don't worry about it. Just let us hear it when we're out there performing tonight. I was like, okay. So
that was Loki, said?
That was Loki, yeah. So super nice guy.
Huge mark for the Loki. Yeah. That's awesome.
Talked to Trevor Lee for about 5 minutes about Bola. try to pretend to be a little mark about myself.
Oh, Trevor Lee? You mean him and Kenny King can go do something else because they both hit on carry from the front row.
Yeah. I just went along with the gimmick. I asked him. I told him I saw him wrestle at Evolve, and he asked me if I was at La Boom, and I said yes. You know, that's not true. And then...
so you lied to Trevor Lee?
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, La Boom, right? I'm like, yeah. So I was going to correct him and be like, no, I was actually in Deer Park at the NYWC Arena. Like, I'd be like super mark about myself. I don't even know.
No, he was at the Quorum Fire Department.
I couldn't remember who he wrestled. Yeah, so I don't know. But and then I asked him if he was doing Bola, which I knew he was, and he said he was. And then he asked me if I was going. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fly cross country to California. I don't even know where Reseda is located in California, to a 400-seat building, because I asked him how many people it seats. He's like, between 400 and 500. Where it's
tickets sell out quicker than, like,
tickets sell out in 5 minutes.
Tickle Me Elmo in 96.
And it's like 100 degrees in the building, and they have like 4 or 5 hour shows. So he's like, you going? I'm like, no, I can't really do that as per, you know, responsibilities and stuff.
Is that, hold on, is that what Carrie's getting me for my birthday? Are we going to, am I going to Bola?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Boy, that'd be cool if somebody got me tickets to Bola for my birthday.
Do you think she's actually, do you think Carrie's listening to this?
No,
she's not going
to. But, you know, from any of the thousands of legions of fans we have, want to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think the GoFundMe is probably.
GoFundMe.
That's the, yeah.
That's tremendous.
So that's where I go. So yeah, he was just a super nice guy. LAX were extremely nice. Sandy and KM looked like they were a little bored with it. Moose was signing. I did not go meet him as per the history that we have.
As per you were shooting on him a couple weeks ago?
I didn't. Actually, when we got in the ring afterwards, it was over. So Moose and James Storm and John Hennigan, were in the ring taking pictures with people. So we went in the ring. They let people in, like, you know, a group at a time. So Charlie and I just went simultaneously and got a picture taken in the ring. And, you know, you walk in, I was kind of like shaking guys' hands over it, and I stonewalled Moose. Nothing. I just shook Morris'
hand.
Is that a
shoot? That's a shoot?
Yeah, Shane James Storm's hand, took a picture, shook both their hands, and then walked out of the ring.
I feel like, with all due respect, in these trying times in the country...
Charlie took care of that part. I'm not... He has no gripe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just...
I just turned my back to him.
If he was wearing the NWO shirt, and you would have ripped it off
I would have been extremely mad.
That is tremendous.
Charlie and I contemplated a double clothesline spot in the ring. We were concerned... Not knowing how, like, we had, when we were outside the ring, the apron was extremely, like, hard.
Hardest spot in the ring, bro.
Yeah. So that's what they say. We were in the ring, I didn't know how, like, it was actually very springy and it had a little bit of give to it. So I feel like we may have been able to pull off a double clothesline spot and not broken our vertebrae. But.
Double clothesline, like, you guys clothesline each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were going to do that and try to, but we felt like we would just be laying flat on the ring and not be able to get up. That was our concern. But I think, having now been in a ring for the first time, that we may have been able to pull it.
That's not true. You were in the ring at LA Boxing.
I was, but I thought maybe that was a boxing ring. I don't know how different that is.
Similar give. Actually, there's a little more give in the professional wrestling ring.
Yeah. This one was like really like, I don't know how these guys work this way, because it was like almost felt like a mini, like a very light trampoline. Like, that's how much it was bouncing. And I'm not sure if it's because it was like three dudes, like a photographer, and me and Charlie in the ring at the same time, so it was like five or six of us, like it's a freaking battle royal. But it had more give to it than I expected. Obviously I didn't fall on it, so I don't, thank God.
You didn't take a bump on it.
Yeah, so I don't know how bad it would be, but it felt like we could have maybe done some things.
Okay.
And pulled it off. So
I feel like you guys should have double clothesline Moose. Like, I would have liked to see what happened there.
Yeah, I would have died probably. Yes.
Probably. What a way to, you want to get ratings or not, huh? We can't bake a cake without
cracking some
eggs.
I wouldn't have. I'll do
it. You said you would have died.
Yeah, I would have died. I'm gonna say I wouldn't do it even if I knew I was gonna die.
Okay. You know. So I still think maybe the next meet and greet, maybe we could pull something off. Possibly a double super kick. We'll see who's there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's like Angelina Love, I think we could take her. But aside from that, I'm broken, beaten down, man. I don't know. Maybe Drago. Was he a big guy, Drago, in person?
He wasn't really that big.
Well,
he had that black tongue thing going for him. It was a little creepy.
So he's like a giraffe?
Do giraffes have black tongues?
They do. Okay. Giraffes have black tongues.
Maybe he was. I mean, that's his whole gimmick. I didn't even realize.
Maybe Drago is Portuguese for giraffe.
We should probably look that up.
We'll Google it later.
I don't know how we got on that. How did we get here? We were talking about G1, and now we're this.
G1, Drago, Black Tongue, Giraffe.
Oh my god, who the hell cares?
So, back to Raw.
Oh, we were... Oh.
So this week on Raw, it was a action-packed show. I really don't remember too much.
You're pointing for me to bring up the
car. Yeah, that's
right. Okay. All right.
What are you stooging me off here?
You were giving me hand signals.
I thought
Hollywood director said
wrap up and go. That's what it was for Raw.
You don't remember everything that happened on Raw last? I mean, it was 2 nights ago, bro. Come on.
Man. I don't remember everything that happened 5 minutes ago, let alone 2 nights ago on Raw.
McMahon furious over the Nakamura Cena botch from last week, by the way.
Oh, was he? What does McMahon have to say?
I don't know. It's a headline here. I didn't click on it.
Big deal.
You want me to bring up the Raw report? So that's
yes.
That's more important. To you is the Raw.
The Raw report? Yeah, it was a tough spot. It's nothing that happens. God, whatever. Oh, anyway.
It's okay. He needs to break John Cena's neck. No problem.
Although there was no heat on him. There was no heat on Nakamura. Hold on a second. Are we gonna turn the tables and you're gonna accuse him of being a dangerous worker?
No, I'm not.
You sure? Because we had a little bit to do about the Seth Rollins thing.
Well, that's, you know, the whole thing is people think Seth Rollins is a dangerous worker, but Nakamura does the same things. But nobody craps on that, right? That's okay. That's fine.
Well, I mean, he didn't injure anybody, though.
He almost broke John Cena's neck.
What was the first word? Almost.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins killed Sting.
He didn't kill Sting.
Sting's dead.
Sting's not dead.
Sting's career might be dead, although he says he could still work. Speaking of working, let's talk Monday Night Raw. Miz TV, Jesus, man, week after week after week, could we get more Miz TV, huh? And it was really cool. We were going to have some Jason Jordan come out. I could not begin to care any less about Jason Jordan. Thankfully, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out and saved the entire segment. How do you feel about the Intercontinental Champion getting completely punked by Brock Lesnar?
They have nothing to do for him. They have nothing for him to do. So, yeah, that's not his fault at this point. I don't know. They just don't. They started the feud with Jason Jordan, and they put the brakes on it because they felt they had too many matches for SummerSlam, I guess, and they didn't want to put it on that card. So they're just going to, I guess, pick it up afterwards. So Miz now has nothing to do. I'm assuming he'll have, like, a pre-show segment or something maybe, or he'll find a way to get on the show in some capacity, but, you know, that's no match. So.
That's brutal. Why bother
getting him? Fight Dean Ambrose again. We didn't see enough of that. Yeah. Let's just do that feud.
You know what we should do? You should have Dean Ambrose versus The Miz, and then Randy Orton versus Jinder. And we can see which matches.
Keep it going, man.
Yeah, man. God knows there's not enough talent out there.
Hey, man, ratings went up this week. So.
Well, anyway.
Orton yeah. Jinder. Free TV.
All right, opening segment. Did you hate it? What'd you think?
Oh, it was fine. Whatever.
Lots of enthusiasm.
You knew as soon as Brock came out, he was just going to kill everybody, right? Just
yeah, he was going to suplex the hell out of everybody. I actually expected Brock to come out in the Last Man Standing match and do exactly what Joe did. Speaking of the botch, we'll get to that. Jason Jordan, this is... Man, this is flatter than a... You got anything for me?
Pancake?
There you go. This whole Jason Jordan thing is flatter than a pancake. He's already getting booed, which means they're probably going to pull the trigger on the heel turn, probably sooner rather than later, right?
I'm sure.
How would you turn him heel?
He should have attacked Angle as soon as he got in the ring to hug him. That's what should have happened. So I don't know if that's what they're going
to
do.
Hug, grasp, belly to belly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Done.
Emma tweeted out that she was going to bang Jason Jordan, in not so many words, on social media if Kurt doesn't give her something to do. How would you feel about Emma being thrown into the into that little, like, that whole triangle?
I feel like Emma's going to get released soon, so I don't know if that's really the best. I wouldn't put her in any sort of spotlight if she's going to be out the door.
Agreed.
I don't know if that's really going to happen, but they keep basically making a joke out of the fact that she was asking for more opportunities and TV time, and they give it to her, and she just jobs it, like, within minutes every single time she's out there.
And she tapped. She actually lost.
Yeah, yeah, the week before she lost to Nia Jax in, like, a minute or something. Yep. So, yeah, no. You know who else can get released? Enzo. Let's get him out the door, too.
Okay, so well, next
every time we go through these matches, I'm going to tell you who can get fired. So let's just
you know, that's a little aggressive.
Listen, it's a business, right? It's profits. There's revenue involved here. We got to trim the fat if we need to get people out, right? Wait till we get to the cruiserweights. Whole division out. Done. Get them out of here. 205 Live.
All right, hold on.
Get the bricks, kids.
I'm gonna take some issue with that. But before we get there...
Are you going to defend Arya Daivari?
No, I'm going to defend the... It's not their fault. The booking has been literally the worst garbage I've ever seen in my entire life.
Look, they go out and sign like 20 cruiserweights, whatever it is, which is ridiculous. Like, first of all, you don't need to go sign 20 new dudes for a show that's basically an hour a week where you have three matches. So how many guys can you even fit on a show? And then you don't even use half of them, and now you're just rotating guys in and out to feud with Neville. And that's it.
Yeah, and but each match is 4 minutes long.
Yeah, so there's no point to
it. You have 6 of 18, 200 minutes of TV, and you put 4 minutes of the cruiserweights every single week. The same. It's terrible. I think the booking is atrocious. You should have done what Nitro did years ago, and you had the first hour kick off. You know, the way Nitro used to do it, like the first hour was like the cruiserweight matches, and they were hot. You know, they would get 10, 12, 15 minutes, and they would pop the crowd, and it wouldn't be a missed TV segment every single week.
They don't let guys wrestle different styles. That's part of the thing. So, like, when Nitro had, you know, the cruiserweights, they let them wrestle their own style. So they had a lot of guys, like the Lucha Libre guys, like whether it was Mysterio and Guerrero, guys like Malenko and Jericho and all these guys, they could work, you know, La Parca, right, Psychosis, I'm trying, you know, all these guys, I'm probably forgetting a bunch. But
Mysterio, Guerrero, Benoit, these guys.
They could work their own stuff, so they let them go out and do things. It was different, right? You'd watch Nitro for, 3 hours, whatever it would turn into, but, like, you could watch and there'd be different types of matches as you went along, right? You'd have a cruiserweight match where you have these guys doing high-flying, crazy lucha moves, right? Then you'd have maybe a hardcore match. Then maybe you'd have, like, a match with Benoit and, you know, whatever. Those are the horseman type guys, yeah, right? Like, TV title, like, that's a little bit different style. And the main event guys obviously had their own thing because they were all old and, like, not in great shape. So, but it was a different thing. Now, WWE just has one style. So I think Vince McMahon, what he thinks a cruiserweight is a wrestler that weighs 205 pounds or less. Absolutely. It's not somebody that wrestles a cruiserweight style. It's like, oh, we have this cruiserweight division because they can do different things. It's these guys basically are 205 pounds or less, so we're going to put them in this division, and they work the same matches that everybody else does. And maybe they just have
same style, finishes. As slow as all the other matches or anything like that.
It's the same thing. Rest holds, right? It's all the same. It's the same type of stuff. They don't do a ton of high-flying moves, and then, like, you know, they have a couple, maybe some guys' finishers are a little bit
more
different,
risque, you know,
because they can do those types of things, like the reverse 450 or whatever it is. And like, but Tozawa does like a senton, not a swanton, like a senton splash. Like, that's like a Bubba Ray Dudley move. So, like, it's not any different.
Oh my god, it is a Bubba Ray move.
It's not any different than anything else. So, like, that's the problem, right? So, like, yeah, and then you have the booking of it, which is these guys have stupid characters and stuff like that. Like Tozawa's with Titus O'Neil.
We got an R-rated show now. Bring it on. Let's do this.
And then they have Noam Dar is like a whiny, like, bitch or whatever it is. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
These guys have no, you know, Alicia Fox is involved in storylines. Like, who cares? Like, this is ridiculous. You should just have guys fighting for the title and then let them just go out and bust their asses and do whatever they want. And, like, and it's too bad then if the main event or mid-card or main event guys or the women can't top what the cruiserweights are doing. Because if you can't...
Step your game up.
Then you have to
then
get
you
better.
Shouldn't be there.
And you shouldn't be there.
Oh, that's man. The this is a new segment. We're called Shooting with the Stallion. So. Oh, it just hit me. Yeah, I agree with every single thing you've said. And at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, the WWE is signing guys just to sign them. It seems like that to you, right?
Yeah, again, these guys, they had the Cruiserweight Classic was last summer. And then...
Those matches were tremendous.
I understand that, like, they had... There were reasons why certain guys had to win, right? Because they couldn't sign Ibushi, they couldn't sign Sabre, and then it was down to, like, Grand Metalik and TJP, and then Metalik had to finish obligations like elsewhere, so he didn't win. And, like, now he's there. He was in the finals of that tournament. He's never on TV. Like, yeah. He doesn't, and even when he is, he loses. So why sign a guy like that? Oh, out of, I don't know what promotion he was in, if it was Mexico or something like that, right? And then he just loses all the time. Like, why? And then, I don't know, I don't understand, like, the point of it all. It's just a waste of money.
But these are the reasons why people don't want the WWE signing their favorite wrestlers. This is why I'm apprehensive about the Kyle O'Reilly, the Bobby Fish, you know, and stuff like that. Because if you're going to, or even the Adam Cole, the rumor said Adam Cole is going to go right to the main card. You know, that's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I kept hearing. God, no. No God, no God, no. God, no God, no. No, no, God, no.
I think it's okay as long as they're in NXT. If you're not in NXT or if you get out of NXT, then it's all bets are off. Right?
Don't because even get me started with what's going to happen on SmackDown once you get to SmackDown, because I got a lot of opinions about that shit.
Because once guys are in NXT, when guys are in NXT, at least they get featured in some capacity. And if they don't connect down there, then they just don't connect and then they let them go, right? Like Sami Callihan was a guy that was there. He was there for however long he was, like a year.
Solomon Crowe, right?
And then whatever the reasons were he left, it was his terms were theirs, he left and he was gone. At least when they bring in guys now, they bring in guys like Rude. They bring in McIntyre. Most of these guys get featured. Even a guy like Oney Lorcan, right? Who, like, he wasn't necessarily featured for a while, but at least now he's getting regular matches, you know, against guys like Itami and stuff like that. Hero is wrestling different guys like Aleister Black. Like, they have guys they bring when they do something with them. And if they get over, they get over, and then they can be successful.
At least they have a chance, you know, is what you're saying.
Right, Gargano, Ciampa, like, Rude, all these guys. like, if you, once you get out of that and go to the main roster, or if you go right to the main roster like Mike Bennett did, then it's just, it's
brutal.
You know, I feel bad about for like Gargano, because I assume Gargano is going to be down there for a while until Ciampa comes back, which is not going to be until next year. They're going to have a long feud, whatever it is, probably for like a good chunk of 2018. When they're done with that feud, where do they go? They're probably just going to go to 205 Live, if it still exists by that point. And then he's just going to wrestle on that show, and then he'll never be heard from again.
Because he's not going to trust Gargano to be a main event guy.
He's one. I watched his match last week. He was weighed at 199, was his announced weight. So he's not going to be a main event guy. He's not. I mean, he was probably best suited to stay in the tag team because they could have had a chance on the main roster, at least in the tag division. But that they dissolved that, which I'm sure they're going to have a great feud when Ciampa gets healthy and comes back. But after
Vince hates tag team wrestling anyway.
And yeah, he splits up all the teams.
Right.
So he split American Alpha, he split up Enzo and Cass right in the last like month. So Gargano and even Ciampa, it's the same thing. Like once they're done with their feud, like, what are they going to do? Are they either going to stay in NXT and maybe graduate to a world title type situation, which would be fine for either of them, or they're going to leave that and go to the main roster or 205 Live, and they're just going to not get anywhere because they're too small.
Right. I mean, this is everything you say is why people were looking for an alternative. That's why Impact has such, I'm sorry, GFW has such a chance right now to capitalize on that. Because who do you have in the main event of GFW? You have guys like Eddie Edwards. You have guys like Moose. He's a big guy.
Mm.
Who else do you have?
Well, your boy.
Which one?
Alberto El Patron. There's your man. He's a
champion. All right, Alberto El Patron,
suspended champion.
Well, I think he's unsuspended. I think.
I think he's on like the 17th or something like that. They're just going to take him off because it's their live show, right?
But then, you know, of course, you go to Ring of Honor and you have the, you know, you have like Cody and you have Christopher Daniels and guys like that. But you know, you can't just rely on guys like Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns just because of how big they are. And then speaking of tag teams, the Good Brothers, the Bullet Club, the Club, whatever. I mean, they're the only tag team who's been together on Raw. I can think of for the last year. Is there anybody else that's even remotely like stayed together?
No, I mean, I think a lot of the other teams are new, right? So I mean, it's like the Hardys just came back at WrestleMania,
right?
The Revival just came up.
No, they're gone.
WrestleMania. So I don't. Yeah, Big Show and Enzo are starting to get some momentum.
Next match was Dean Ambrose versus Cesaro, and that got 20 minutes on Raw. How many commercials was this?
I think at least two.
At least, and stop with, you know, the whole picture-in-picture on the commercial thing drives me crazy. I appreciate it, but I'm not going to sit there and watch it because it's the size of, never mind. I thought they had a good match, though. How'd you feel about this match?
Solid.
Yeah, it was solid. So, you know, I know how you feel about Ambrose, and he is what he is. Ambrose is never going to be a 6-star match guy, tight, right? He's never going to be a 5-star match guy. Is that fair to say? Like, I don't think I'll ever see Ambrose in a 5-star match.
Probably not.
Right, but you're not going to get like a 1-star match out of him. He is what he is. You know, he's nothing if not consistent. And Cesaro was obviously very motivated, and they had a good match. And I appreciate the fact that they got 20 minutes. I thought that was a really, really good match. And then after that, you follow up with Tozawa versus Daivari for 3 minutes and 50 seconds. And then you have Nia Jax squash Mickie James and Dana Brooke.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing with that, the women's stuff is...
With
Bayley separated her shoulder last week. She was supposed to get a title shot at SummerSlam, so they decided to have two triple threat matches. Sasha Banks beat Alicia Fox and Emma. And then Nia Jax defeated Mickie James and Dana Brooke. The two winners are facing each other next week. So it's Sasha Banks against Nia Jax. The Bayley promo, obviously, was atrocious. She comes out basically trying to thank people for all the well wishes on Twitter, and now she's hurt and she gets booed. So that worked out pretty well.
Can I give my prediction? We're gonna see a Bayley heel turn in SummerSlam.
You think so?
I think Sasha wins the title. Immediate Bayley heel turn. That would give life to her character because her character is dead on arrival. When she gets booed, like there's no. I would say Bayley and Sami Zayn are the two most natural baby faces. Is that fair to say? On both shows, you think just natural, you know, nice, over with the crowd people. I think Bayley and Sami Zayn.
Well, Zayn, for sure, I would say, is in that category.
Well, Bayley has that, like, you know, she's hugging kids, for God's sake, Joe. Yeah. She's saying prayers and eating vitamins, and she's getting booed. Because they do not, like you said, and they book the women's division, like, the same way they book everything else. There's nothing different, and they don't even trust them to carry a match. They love to break ground and put a 20-minute... Who was that? Sasha versus Charlotte main event, right? It was like a Falls County or whatever it was.
Yep.
And they'll break ground and they love to tote that they're equality and all this other bullshit. But then you have you just relegate them to cruiserweight matches, cruiserweight style type matches, the same every week. Give them a legitimate feud. Give them time to work and don't just sign them to like, and don't just push the ones that suck, man. You have there's so much down there in NXT in the women's. When's that start? Women's show, the Mae Young Classic?
Yeah, I think it's sometime this month.
So I hope, although I heard that they didn't impress and they're not going to sign a lot of those girls and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm souring on the. You have nothing for Mickie James. You have nothing for Dana Brooke. You have nothing for Alicia Fox, and you have nothing for Emma. So pretty much your show is Sasha Banks, Nia Jax on Monday Night Raw, and Alexa Bliss, and Bayley. But you can't have an entire division only care about three people. That you have a, I mean, the cruiserweight division. You have an entire division. And you only care about one person. Was Neville even on the show?
I think he was in a segment.
There was a segment. Okay, good. I don't know. And what did you think of the main event with this?
I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, have you seen this? I don't think I've ever seen this match before.
They've all been very good, so I don't have much issue with them.
What, they're Strowman Reigns?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're going to throw a flag on Omega versus Okada wrestling this often, I think, how many times do you think we've seen Strowman and Reigns wrestle this year?
Four.
Ambulance match, this match.
They had a match at Fastlane.
Fastlane.
And then I think they had a match at Payback as well. Strowman's won the last three.
Okay, good. Even though, did you notice the finish of this match? I think Strowman was down for the 8 count, didn't move, 9 count, didn't move.
Stood up.
He stood up?
Strowman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, no, didn't Joe grabbed Roman.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Strowman was still down.
Yeah.
So
are you talking about the referee stopping his count?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he stopped the count, but Strowman didn't get up. It's a no DQ match.
Right.
That should have been a 10 count.
Correct.
Okay. I wasn't being facetious. I was legitimately asking because I watched once or twice. So okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just don't know why you would do that right after you do the evil Elgin spot.
The evil Elgin spot.
Yeah. That's
what I'm Michael Elgin's evil now? Is that what you're telling me?
Evil slash Elgin spot.
Evil slash Elgin?
Evil dot ellipsis.
Slash?
Evil ellipsis Elgin? Anyway, I thought the match was good.
Evil versus Elgin. That match.
Same thing.
He threw the same chair, and that chair got...
the same flow.
Overnighted. FedExed.
I think he went back in time because of the...
Went back in time.
I think it was because of the time zone difference.
McFly.
88, baby. I thought there was a lot of good on the show, and I thought there was a lot of bad. What did you think?
It's a lot of stuff on the show, then, it sounds like.
It's
a lot
of good. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes of... stuff. What did you think? I'm interested.
I mean, it's not. It's just it's the same combination of stuff every week. There's a few things that are okay. There's a few things that are not okay, and there's a few things that I just indifferent about. And that seems to be the same thing for Raw every week. Right? It's just guys you like, guys you don't like, or things that don't happen. That you want to see happen, and it just ends up being the same stuff. The Strowman-Roman's main event was really good. Cesaro and Ambrose had a fine match. I'm liking the Shield stuff that they're doing with Ambrose and Roman.
Oh, you know what? I did leave that. You're right.
That's good. Cruiserweights, I sounded off on that for a while. I don't need to get into that anymore. And the women's stuff, I think like you said, it's just not... They're not doing enough with the angles and storylines to make people care about it. I'm all for the idea of... And this is just good for the women... of like, you know, competition and trying to make it like an athletic type of thing. But at the same time, like, you need storylines that make sense. I mean, I want the title to be important. Everybody wants the title. But like, realistically, with all the women, right, in the division, what's the angle? There is no angle, right? It's just Alexa Bliss won a title shot and then she beat Bayley. Then they did a kind of a mini angle with... They kind of had an angle with Bayley about she wasn't going to use the kendo stick. She couldn't go hardcore.
They buried Bayley brutally.
Then she got buried. She lost a couple of times right to Alexa. And then Alexa kind of like walked off or something like that against Sasha Banks and just escaped. And then Bayley's supposed to get another title shot. So I keep thinking the storyline is going to be that Sasha was going to turn on Bayley and like that'll actually kick something off. But they never seem to get there for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And now Bayley's hurt, so they probably can't do much with it right now. But there's no like... Like, what's the story? Like Nia Jax is big and angry. And, like, she's kind of friends with Alexa Bliss, like, we think. even though they haven't really played that up on TV much. It's more of like a Twitter thing, right? Like, I don't know what the storyline is. Like, there is no... It's just like, oh, as much people, we're going to give them title shots and see who wins, and then they'll fight for the title. And, like, that's why nobody cares, I think.
Yeah, anyway. Well, no, also, the same reason nobody cares about Bayley, because you just kicked her and kicked her and kicked her while she was down. She wasn't woman enough to use the kendo stick in the match, lost the match, and then she never got, you know, insider term, she never got her shine, if you will, after that. So why should people care? All of a sudden, because she won one match in a roll-up? No, nobody, stop. Speaking of not caring, SmackDown. SmackDown opened with a pretty good segment, I think. It was John Cena comes out, puts over Nakamura, and then the next thing you know, Baron Corbin comes out. Everybody's making a big deal about his new music. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Does it suck?
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, Cena challenges Baron Corbin, and Daniel Bryan comes. Corbin says he doesn't have to fight. He's fighting for the belt, blah, blah, blah. And Daniel Bryan comes out and says, well, they have to have a match at SummerSlam, right?
Yes.
Is there any way that Baron Corbin wins this match?
I don't know.
I don't think Cena's going to lose clean to Nakamura and then do the JLB to Corbin.
I assume it's the same thing like we talked about when we talked about the Battleground pay-per-view where they just have the guy with the briefcase lose all the time. And then like when he cashes in, they feel like it's a surprise and then he has ready-made feuds for him because he just got beat by a bunch of guys. So I would assume that he'll lose to Cena and then maybe he'll cash in on Nakamura like later in the night or something like that.
That's what I was thinking too. Because if how many times have they done this where they lose like the opening match and then they cash in the main event? Just repetitive and stale, and I'm over it. The next match was interesting. The Usos defeated the team of Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger. I get it. Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger are both from Canada. SmackDown is from Canada, so you put two Canadian guys together. I actually thought they had pretty good chemistry. I enjoyed this match for this 6-7 minutes it was with the 3-minute commercial break. I feel like it just kind of ended out of nowhere. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. True story, I booked them as a team like 4 months ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
On the show?
No. It was when, remember, BK had asked us for like SummerSlam, a potential SummerSlam card like 4 months ago. And I was trying to figure out like tag teams and stuff on SmackDown because I think at the time they hadn't done the Superstar Shakeup. So I put like Zayn and Dillinger together as a team on SmackDown because I didn't have anything for either of them to do. And I think I teamed them up against like the Usos or something like that.
Wow.
Here it is.
Speaking of Back to the Future,
from
buddy.
From my notepad at work to...
That's what we do. We take notes at work about professional wrestling. I thought it was a good match, but we're talking about guys that are just getting buried. Ty Dillinger, man. He's over with the 10 thing at the Rumble. Everything was perfect. The planets aligned. Then he was off of SmackDown for, what, 3-4 months? And now, I don't even know. He's out there jobbing to people. What are they... They just don't know how to use them.
They're wasting my time.
They're wasting my time.
Speaking of wasting... Did you watch the Charlotte-Lana match? Did you watch it?
No. Wasting of my time.
Oh, did you not see the spot where Lana inadvertently pulled Charlotte's tights down?
No, I didn't. I have it on DVR. I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah. It's only from the backside. You can't see anything.
She pulled down the front?
The backside.
She pulled down the butt.
The back of her tights, yep. Yeah. But the camera was shooting from the front, so you can just tell like it came down because the fans, everybody went nuts.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
Lana's good in the ring, though.
There's some GIFs online. I'll talk to you about it after we go.
Sweet. This is good booking. That's good booking. Yeah. I'm going to need you to send me that. Now. I'll pause the show. This is your favorite. This is your favorite thing about professional wrestling. The next two. Are just you're at the.
Oh,
I love how much you love this.
Before we do that, I guess what did you think of the? Did you enjoy the Owens AJ Shane interview segment?
I thought that was after this. I didn't watch it. True story. I'm not gonna lie to you. I fell asleep watching SmackDown last night. So at work today, I watched the rest of it, and for some reason, that wasn't on there. Okay. I'm sorry. I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was a great segment. Whatever. I'm honest. And freaking suck it.
The Naomi loss to Carmella.
So you're not going to talk about it?
Well, no.
I can't
really
go back. Did you like the segment?
I did. Crowd was into it. It was in Canada, right? They were kind of pro-Owens, even though he tried to get them to turn against him.
And didn't he talk about the screw job?
He talked about the screw job, and he showed some highlights of Shane screwing over Stone Cold in the Survivor Series 98 tournament. Like, so he was kind of playing up how Shane, you know, will screw people over when he's a referee, and they kind of dug on the McMahons a little bit, and they had a little bit of a dust up at the end, and AJ accidentally hit Shane with a Pele kick.
Did he hit him anywhere near as impressively as Owens punched Mike Chioda last week?
I don't know.
Did you see them show the strike again this week?
No.
If you get a chance. Last week, they had a perfect angle of it where it looked like he rocked him. This week, I'm telling you, he was not even within a foot. And for some reason, the production truck showed the angle of Owens literally clearly missing him, like by more than a foot. And that's on Kevin Dunn. That's brutal. He can't show that.
He's a nerd.
He's a bozo deluxe. Hmm. Speaking of Bozo Deluxe, who made his return but your buddy and mine, Ellsworth. Carmella defeated champion Naomi.
Fan of the Ellsworth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do love him. He's a big fan of Mario Children.
Yeah. Huge pop from the fans for Ellsworth's return. Everyone was waiting for it.
And they saw it coming a mile away.
Carmella got the win. Good stuff there. And then Orton and Jinder Mahal, they had a grudge match, non-title. The Singh brothers were not in the building, basically just telegraphed what was going to happen at the end. And Orton ended up beating him with the RKO, 1-2-3. And, yep, there goes the champion. So after Jinder had to cheat to beat Orton like several times with help from the Singh brothers and Great Khali, he finally gets a one-on-one match with Orton with no outside interference and loses in about 10 minutes. So
2 weeks before the biggest pay-per-view of the summer at SummerSlam.
Yep.
Now, explain this to me. You have the champion take the pinfall in back-to-back matches. Mm. If you're the agent for the Randy Orton-Jinder Mahal match, and I'm the agent for the Carmella-Naomi match, do we talk at all, do you think? Or do they have so many writers now that it's just they don't know what each other's doing? Because there's no way in good conscience you could have this happen back-to-back. Like, I feel like that, like, somebody has to, like, say, hey,
you should tweet Road Dogg. I'm pretty sure he gets back to people and then blocks them when people get on his case for what they don't like about SmackDown. So,
okay. What's his Twitter? @ODK.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was like @WWE Road Dogg or something like that.
No, I think it's @OU didn't know.
Road Probably. Dogg. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to get on him. So I think that's terrible. I think Naomi taking the loss, I understand because of the outside interference that I'll give that one a pass. But your champion taking the pinfall to a guy he beat twice in a non-title match 2 weeks before he, you know, defends a title at SummerSlam. Jinder's got zero heat whatsoever. He had the Great Khali come back for a cup of coffee, and then apparently he wasn't physically able to work, is what I read, and then he's gone. You have Cal Penn, by the way, from Harold and Kumar. Did you see that?
No.
Kumar was at SmackDown taking pictures with Jinder and the Singh brothers.
There you go.
That's a shoot. Somebody said,
Maharaja.
Jinder and Kumar go to White Castle to pop me. That was pretty funny. But why do I care about Jinder Mahal? Like, why should I care?
Because he's the modern-day Maharaja. That's
what he's a modern-day Mahamayas, okay? That's what they've done to his title reign. I was totally bought into the title reign in the beginning. I thought it was something new, something different, but you're just cheapening him. You're cutting off his nuts week after week after week after week. Now, why shouldn't Nakamura beat him, you know? There's no reason not to. I'm sure Nakamura is going to win, get the huge pop, and then out comes Baron Corbin. That's my prediction. You want to talk about a guy who's not ready to be the champion? Baron freaking Corbin. Do not put the title on him.
You know what? To be fair, neither was Jinder, so.
That's true. But at least Jinder can talk on the mic, I will say. I think Jinder is better on the mic than.
Speaking of that, Shinsuke Nakamura cannot. So I was
saying. No, I completely agree with you. I think he's terrible on the mic, too. But I also think he's. None of them have the trifecta of being great on the mic, being great in the ring, and being over.
You know who does?
AJ Styles.
Yeah.
It's nice. Can you fist bump me for that one?
Yeah, I can do that.
But what's he doing? He's wrestling Kevin Owens. I don't know, man. I thought SmackDown was tough to get through. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The only good thing, I'm sure I say it like almost all the time, but the fact that it's only 2 hours makes it a little easier.
Yep.
Fashion Peaks.
Oh, that was awesome.
Did you ever watch
Twin Peaks?
No.
Okay, I watched Twin Peaks, so I really like thoroughly enjoyed this.
Okay.
I'm really a big fan of those two. Enough for nothing, I thought Connor and Victor were hilarious. It's like,
with the pie.
We just came here for the pie. What are you doing? You guys gonna leave? Yeah, we are. So, what time we got? How are we looking on time? Are we closing up? We wrapping up shop?
It's time to wrap it up, my friend.
Oh, it is time to wrap it up. You know what? Next week, should I tell people now? Next week, we're going to have Hulk Hogan. No, just kidding. We're not going to have Hulk Hogan. Next week is going to be a big show. We're going to talk about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. We'll do predictions for that. We'll do predictions for WWE SummerSlam. And we're also going to be joined by a special guest. Yeah? Yeah? We talking about the guest?
Is it Chance, your dog?
No, it is not Chance, actually. He's been boycotting ever since the whole Kaepernick thing. I think he's taking a political stance on all sports. He's watching a lot of roller derby,
though. Has he been kneeling a lot?
He's been pooping a lot.
Okay.
So I wonder if that's...
I don't know.
I wonder if that's something to do with it. Anyway, next week we're going to be joined by Brian Orlando of 94.3 The Shark, Long Island radio station. And I'm not just saying this to put the guy over. I think 94.3 it's the only station I'm going to listen to. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best station for, you know, someone who's a fan of the type of music that, you know, I am, I guess, as far as on Long Island. Like, if you listen to for like a rock alternative stuff from like the 90s, he mixes stuff in from the 2000s, obviously, and then some stuff from the 80s, depending on what it is,
right.
Zeppelin or whatever. But it's a lot of stuff from that era, and that's what. So, if people our age grew up on that, and you're fans of that, and listening to his show or other guys on the station, Rob Rush, guys like that have those shows.
Yep, really good show.
You know, it's they do a lot of cool stuff with like bands and concerts or whatever. And he's a big wrestling fan, so
he's a huge wrestling fan. Actually, you know, we were like I said 2 weeks ago. We had the oh. I can't wait till Orlando comes on the show. I have a bone to pick with him about the trivia night. How we were jobbed out. What do you call it? The Holbrook screw job?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about that. But no, we're looking forward to have him on. We're going to talk a little bit of SummerSlam, a little bit of NXT, get his predictions for it. And like I said, he's a huge wrestling fan. And actually, I don't know if I'd put him one-on-one with the Stallion, but I think he'd be close in terms of knowledge. He did know what Kerry Von Erich's entrance music was.
That's...
You got to know the quirky things before you know
those questions are erroneous.
They are. Want to remind you guys, we appreciate you listening and checking out this week's show. We are brought to you, as always, by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and you are listening to Damage 365 Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
So you guys can also, you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, at All Night Long WP, facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. Tweet us, follow us, like us, share us, comment, rate us, do whatever you got to do. Help us get your boys over, because much like the cruiserweights, we can't do it ourselves. No matter how good the in-ring product is. Well, that's a good comparison to the cruiserweights.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that makes me Noam Dar.
I was going to say, what am I, Akira Tozawa?
No, Tozawa's getting a push. I think you and I are closer to
Drew Gulak.
Gulak for a better 205 Live. Genius. On that note, he's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. Once again, we're tapping out.